Hi everyone. God's been speaking to me about joy for a number of years. Way back in 1999, when I was healed from ME, one of the keys that I learnt at the time was that we are able to experience joy in all circumstances. God's brought me back to this in the last couple of years, and I've been praying that I would truly experience more of His joy in my life, whatever is happening in and around me. This was reinforced by a word to Gateway at the beginning of this year about an increase in joy. I wanted some of that, so I deliberately went to search for it. A quick glance in a concordance shows that there are at least 150 references to joy in the Bible. Some versions or translations have upwards of 200. That's a lot of scriptures. So joy must be an important feature in our lives as Christians. Something that Father wants us to have. I started studying scriptures about joy. I did a few Bible studies on the subject, and I'm going to share with you today some of the things that I found, along with some of my recent experiences on my road towards joy. So to start with, what is joy? Will we even recognise it when we experience it? I think the fullness of joy in God is difficult to put into words. There's not really a neat catch-all definition that can sum it up, but we do see endless examples of joy in the Bible. So there's joy in the peace that passes all understanding, which is in Philippians 4:7. Hebrews 12:1, there's joy in the huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith who are cheering us on. Romans 8:38, there's joy in the knowledge that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Isaiah 43:19, there's joy in God making a way in the desert and a stream in the wilderness. Joy is angels on a hillside announcing the birth of Jesus. Jesus turning water into wine, feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Peter walking on water. Joy is realising that Jesus is not dead, but very much alive. And the list could go on. So how do we find this joy? It was quite simple, really. And after years of searching, I was quite embarrassed when the penny finally dropped and I realised what the answer was. We can find the answer in Psalm 16, verse 11. In His presence is fullness of joy. I'll say that again. In His presence is fullness of joy. That's it. It really is that simple. Joy, fullness of joy, is found in God's presence. Carol McLeod writes, "If you desire a joy so pervasive that it will trump every other circumstance in life, then you must spend time in the presence of the Lord. You must marinate in His presence." I love that picture of marinating. Marinating takes time. A quick dip in and out isn't going to do it. We need to spend lengthy, quality time soaking with Father, soaking in His word, worshipping Him, gazing upon Him, speaking to Him and letting Him speak to us. When we marinate in something, we absorb its flavour. So if we marinate in God, we will become more like Him. And being filled with joy is just one aspect of His character. In Psalm 100, we're encouraged to shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us when we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. This psalm is a call to all nations, the whole earth, to worship the Lord and acknowledge His goodness. It talks about shouting for joy. Shouting, not a tame, lacklustre whisper, but a shout, a declaration of joy to the Lord. We're called to worship him with gladness, not reluctantly, half-heartedly mouthing the words, but singing with gusto, with enthusiasm and with joy. In the Passion Translation, verse 3 says, "And realise what this really means. We have the privilege of worshipping the Lord our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure." It's so easy to take worshipping God for granted, but it's a privilege to be welcomed into his presence. And welcome us he does. He desires our presence with him. That's why he created us, to be in relationship with him. At the January Well of Worship evening, Brian had a picture. Let me briefly share what I wrote in my journal after that evening. Brian had a picture of a dark, gloomy basement, quite trendy, with pallets on the walls. There was a partial partition across the room, with light coming from the other side of it. We were encouraged to go beyond the partition. It took me a while to get there, but when I did, Father God was waiting for me on a huge, squishy sofa. His arms were stretched out, ready to engulf me in a hug. As I leant against him on the sofa, enveloped in his arms, waves of love, acceptance and joy washed over me. He said that this was a place I could return to at any time. This absolutely blew me away. It was just so amazing. It took me ages to get beyond the partition. I was just kind of stuck in the gloomy side, but I really pushed through and persevered. And when I did, it was so worth it. And it's a place that I return to regularly now. Whenever I want to know God's presence, whenever I'm spending time with him, I make that effort to go beyond the partition. And he's always there. He's always there waiting for me on the sofa. And his arms are always stretched out to welcome me. And it's great fun. Sometimes there's a bit of a party going on. Sometimes we just sit together in silence. Sometimes I cry and Father holds me. But the thing that gets to me the most is that Father is always there and I'm always welcome. He desires my presence. He desires your presence. And all this points to the source, the reason for our joy, which is God himself. Not money, not our possessions or our home, not our job, not our circumstances, not even our relationships with one another. The source of our joy is him, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God. And joy is an integral part of the character of God. He takes pleasure in us, his creation, and we are to take pleasure in our relationship with him. It should bring us joy as we bring him joy. God is so glad to have a relationship with us that he's found singing over us. We read in Zephaniah 3:17, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." Going back to Psalm 100, we're also encouraged to be thankful. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a key to the door of God's presence. I've spoken before about how Jonathan and I specifically give thanks to God every day for what he's done, for who he is, what he's promised us. And thanksgiving should be part of our daily lifestyle. I give credit to God for all sorts of things. Green traffic lights when I'm in a hurry, parking spaces, a friendly smile, discounts on things I was intending to buy. And being thankful genuinely thankful has been the first step on my road to joy. One day, just a couple of months ago, I walked into our lounge and I just felt so grateful for our home. I just walked in as usual. I wasn't particularly thinking of anything. And just this sense of joy and thankfulness just like welled up inside me. It was amazing. And since then, I keep getting moments when joy just bubbles up inside from genuine gratitude for what God has given me, for what he's done for me. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now the enemy knows that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if he can rob us of our joy, then he can turn us into sorrowful, weak Christians. In trying to steal our joy, the devil will go after our health, our family, our finances, our marriages, our children. You name it, he'll try and take it. But when we choose to defy the enemy with the joy that's available in God's presence, the joy that Jesus died to give us, we can become a powerful force in the world. Earthly circumstances can steal our happiness, but never our joy. I tend to think of happiness as an emotional response to our circumstances. Something made me feel happy. It can be a transient emotion. Whilst joy is the gift that comes from God's presence, which surpasses our circumstances and can be everlasting. James 1:2 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." If we were together right now in the same room, I'd ask for a show of hands from anyone who's ever groaned when hearing that scripture. I certainly have, especially when someone shared it with us when we're having a difficult time and not feeling particularly joyful. But we are able to experience joy in spite of tragedy and trauma, because nothing is able to separate us from God's presence. That's Romans 8:38. And it is in God's presence where there is that fullness of joy. Our inner attitudes don't have to reflect our outward circumstances. There will always be situations in life that will cause us to feel unhappy or unproductive or emotionally weak. But there should never be any event in our life that causes us to take our eyes off of God and therefore steal our joy. It can also be so easy to become discouraged about unpleasant circumstances or to be tempted to take insignificant events too seriously. I have a tendency to take things too seriously. So I've adopted a new phrase. I got this off Patricia Rootsma. Will it matter in eternity? So whatever I'm worried about, whatever I'm having a bit of a stress about, will it matter in eternity? I've given Jonathan permission to ask me this phrase when needed. And usually the answer is no. Actually, it won't matter when I get to eternity. And my perspective on eternity has changed too. I've read an amazing book, this book. It's called Imagine Heaven by John Burke. Again, it was recommended by Patricia. And it's about people's near-death experiences and their images of heaven. It is an amazing book. I highly recommend that you read it. It's completely transformed my perspective on my life here on earth. It's shown me the reality of God's love and the reality of what actually matters here on earth, and that reality of that we will live an eternity with him. If we know and love the Lord Jesus, we have an eternity with him when our life on this earth ends. So will it matter in eternity? Usually, with my trivial concerns, the answer is no. So if we want to win the battle of joy, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. I spoke about this in October last year in my talk, Where's Your Focus? Which I'm sure is available in the archives somewhere on the Gateway's website. But keeping our eyes on the Lord is fundamental to succeeding as a Christian. We need to resolve in our hearts that God will have our full, undivided attention, regardless of what is happening in our circumstances. So often when we're in a battle, all we talk about is the battle. Our sole focus is the battle. The centre of our attention is the battle. We need to talk about God when we're in the battle. His strength, his might, his love, his joy, his promises, his faithfulness. Our focus should be on God. God should be the centre of our attention, not the battle. So, am I saying that we need to stick a smile on our faces regardless of what's happening in our lives, regardless of what's going on in the world around us? Should we ignore our negative emotions, fake it till we make it? No, I'm not saying that, absolutely not. One obstacle to experiencing joy can actually be our inability to sit with our negative emotions. If we try to escape them, numb them, or simply ignore them, this can actually increase our stress. The Bible is clear that we will experience negative emotions, and that instead of running away from them, we must feel them and face them long enough to find the joy of God on the other side. For example, Psalm 56, verse 8. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. John 16, verse 20. Jesus told his disciples, "You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy." We need to face our negative emotions, knowing that God notices them and that on the other side of the fullness of sorrow is the fullness of joy. As we do this more and more, facing our negative emotions whilst praying for God's joy to meet us on the other side, we increase our capacity to face hard things, and therefore we open ourselves up to more joy. Sometimes we need to command our souls to make the effort to praise and worship God. Our soul is the birthplace of our emotions, feelings and desires. And sometimes we just have to tell it to come into line. We can follow the example of David and speak out his words to get us started. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. We can speak these words out, speak them out loud, commanding our souls to praise the Lord, commanding our souls to remember the good things that God has done for us. And we can speak those things out. And as we do, that encourages us, it lifts our spirit, and we can start to feel that joy as we enter into God's presence. So the road to joy is travelled in the presence of God. Access to joy is a constant all of our days because God is constant in his presence. Joy is knowing that he is with us on good days and on horrible days, in times of thanksgiving and on days of utter despair. God is constant. He is always with us. We need to foster his presence. And there aren't any shortcuts to spending time with God. Not if we really want to get to know him. Not if we really want to feel that fullness of joy. A quick wave as you pass him by is not going to do it. We need to be there long enough to dwell in his presence. For some of us, the current situation has given us a lot more time on our hands. What are you doing with that time? I'm determined to look back on this period in my life and be able to say that I grew in my relationship with God at this time. I want to grow in my capacity to experience joy in all circumstances. Yeah, but Helen, you might be saying, I don't have the time. You don't understand the pressures on my life, what I'm going through, my circumstances. When I was a little girl and protesting that I didn't want to do something, my dad always used to say, no, yeah, buts. It was a real anthem in our house. I must have said it quite a lot. And if that's what you're saying, then I challenge you to ask God to show you where you can fit in more time with him. It's likely to involve a change of priorities, change of things that you're doing, maybe putting something down, maybe making more time in the day, but it will be worth it. I'm not great at getting up in the morning, and I really don't like getting up early. But during this time when I am still working, but my working day has changed and it starts a lot later than it usually does, I am still getting up at my usual time, even though my body protests quite a lot. And I'm finding that I'm having a much longer time before I start work to spend with God, much longer to dwell in his presence. And it's an amazing way to start the day. And I really don't like getting up. But I can sit, I can dwell in his presence, I can just be with him. In some ways, still being a bit tired when I go into his presence is helping me. I'm not very good at sitting still and doing nothing, or nothing. And I'm like, oh, I want to read my Bible and I want to worship and all those things are great. But what I'm finding is just dwelling with God, with Father, going to that place behind the partition, climbing on the squishy sofa with Father and just being with him is amazing. It's such amazing times. And if somebody said to me, oh, what did you do with God today? Often it's, well, I just sat with him. I just sat in his presence. And it's amazing. It's a revelation to me because I'm not very good, as I said, at sitting still. But it's been brilliant. It's been really good. I challenge you to try it. Why don't you ask God for a place that you can go to, where your special place is? Your special place will be different to mine because we're all individuals and God treats us as individuals. But why don't you take that time to ask God, even use that picture that Brian had of the basement with the partition, with the light coming from the other side of the partition. Why don't you go to the other side of that partition and find out what God looks like? What's your special place? What's your special meeting place going to be with God? And if you don't know Jesus and have never known the presence of God, then today's a great day to enter into the most important relationship of your life. Ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will. If you don't know God or have wandered away from him, why not pray this prayer with me now? Father God, thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. I'm sorry for the things I've done that are wrong. Thank you that in you there is fullness of joy and fullness of forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place and rising again to make me new and to prepare me to live in your presence forever. Please forgive me for the things I've done wrong and reveal yourself to me. I want to know your presence in my life. I want to know you as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer today and you know somebody who's a believer, who's a Christian, contact them and tell them that you've prayed the prayer today. or have a look at the description below this video. Just click on the little arrow and you'll find our contact details. Get in touch with us. Tell us that you have prayed that prayer and someone will help you on your journey towards joy. And just to finish, if you are one of those people who are out there working on the front line, dealing with the sick and needy, providing essential services, first of all, thank you. We're so grateful for all you're doing. And secondly, I pray that you would find the time to shelter in God's presence when you can. To find that joy that comes when we have almost like a vertical point of view, a vertical perspective, looking straight into God's face. Let me just pray for everyone who's watching now. Father God, thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. The joy that we can experience no matter our circumstances. Father, you know the pain, the sorrow, the grief that some of us are feeling now. Holy Spirit, would you just present yourself with each person now, that we would know your presence with us, that we would know that fullness of joy that is to be found in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would reveal that special place to each one of us that we can go and meet with you. And thank you, Father, that you are already waiting for us just to step into your arms and dwell with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I bless you to find that place in God's presence and to start your own road to joy.